All right, well, here we are again, 2022. It's good to be home from our travels. We did have a good time with family back in Minnesota. I was grateful for that. It's good to be back here, though, and we are grateful for that, too. So it is a new year, and as we look forward to 2022, as we think about what we're going to be doing as a church, maybe even thinking about what we're going to do individually. It is that time of resolution, right? Arbitrarily, but it's nice to have a rhythm to life where we can stop sometimes and look back and look forward, as I mentioned during the communion time. Gives us the opportunity to maybe think about failures of the past year, desires, looking forward. It is good. I love it. Some people don't like the whole resolutions thing, right? Because it just sets you up for failure, and you know it's better just to not, and then you won't be disappointed. You know, I don't care. Disappointment's always there, so why don't you just try? That's what I always think. So I love this time of year. I love taking time to think. I love putting goals for myself. Admittedly, you know, if I think about any resolutions I made last year at this time, I probably didn't, you know, do so hot on them. But I tried, and that's always the best. Because in life always happens incrementally. Rarely do we just all of a sudden arrive. All of a sudden we're in physical shape. All of a sudden we're in mental shape. All of a sudden I have a college degree. All of a sudden I have a family and everything's wonderful. That doesn't happen, right? So we take this time now maybe to think about things like exercise or, you know, or spiritual things. Of course, as Christians, that's always, you know, it's actually big business these days. You can find all kinds of tools and books and plans for Bible reading and spiritual disciplines and discipleship, right? And so we set goals for ourselves. Anybody here set a goal for Bible reading this last year and just completed it? I did not. I admit I did not make it all the way where I wanted, but I moved along. That's what's important. It's always interesting to me, the things we make as Christians, the goals we make, they often center around things like Bible reading or Bible memorization, which are great things. You know what my heart is in that, right? I rarely hear anybody talk about, you know, I resolved this year to help the poor more. But that's such a thing in Scripture, right? I mean, that's huge. Or I'm going to seek reconciliation in relationships in my life, maybe. So I would challenge you maybe to look a little outside the box in your resolutions this year. To think, hey, what sort of things as a Christian do I want to look at? Because, again, looking back at 2021, it was tough sometimes. It was a rough year in a lot of ways. You know, I mentioned the passing of my dear brother Paul and others. And, you know, I think about just all the ongoing tension in our country with politics and in the world. And there's weather and droughts and hunger and wars and civil wars and, you know, places. It's awful sometimes to look at the news. It's hard. We've had natural disasters, tornadoes, ice storms, people dying from these sorts of things. There's always COVID that's just hanging over us often. And so it's interesting how today's scriptures, I think they point us toward a good foundation of resolution in our lives as we look forward to 2022. A good foundation of resolution for ourselves personally and maybe for our church too as we look forward to our annual meeting and things like that. And because what I think these scriptures give to us as a starting point of resolution in the Christian life is one to grow. It's growth. We saw in 1 Samuel chapter 2, the story of, it was talking about Samuel. Now, if you recall the story of Samuel, there was a woman named Hannah, and she was one of two wives, Elkanah, and his first wife had children. She did not. It was very frustrating to her. We see that as a theme often in scriptures, that desire for children, and some don't. And you think about Rachel and Leah and others, or Abraham and Sarah, you know. And so Hannah was frustrated, but God heard her prayers, and Eli was there as basically a prophet and said, you will have what you desire here. Has a child named Samuel, and Hannah made a promise. She said, if I have a child, I will dedicate him to the Lord. And that's what she did. She had this boy, Samuel, and when he was weaned and able to not be home, took him to Eli and said, oh, here you go. Here's, you can have him. It's weird, but, you know. And then Hannah went on to be blessed with 3 sons and 2 daughters. So we see that also. But what we see here in this story, in verse 26, it was interesting. It says, this boy Samuel continued to grow in stature and in favor with the Lord and with people. There was growth in Samuel. In two things, in stature and in favor. Stature, we think of maybe growth of character, growth of respect, of just maturing as a person. And in favor is just growth in your reputation and how people see you. And those kind of things. And in the Lord. And so it's good to look back and maybe see how maybe we grew. How did you grow this year? Did you? Do you feel that way? Rooms for improvement. And then maybe looking forward to how we can grow individually in the Lord and as a church. Because growth is life. Right? If something's alive, it's going to be growing. And in our Christian life, there's a rhythm of growth that is constant all the time. Now, what's interesting in today's scriptures is that there's a direct, I mean, almost word for word, direct parallel with our Lord. And it's amazing to think, you know, that in the humanity, in the season of Christmas, to think about a baby, and it all becomes very abstract, but Jesus was a person. He was a baby. He messed his diapers, right? He got dirty. He scuffed and had to heal and all these things, and he grew. That's fascinating to me. Because in Luke, that scripture, verse 52, Jesus grew in wisdom and stature, in favor with God and man. Just like we saw with Samuel. And so I think a challenge, if it's good enough for Jesus, like maybe it's good enough for me, right? To think about along the lines of growth, to think along the lines of what can we do to grow in stature and in favor with God and with people. With God and people. Both are important. So, if that is a goal, of a foundation for growth and looking forward to things, the question is how? How and what? What does this look like? What does growth look like? What areas? All sorts of things. And the Colossians passage that was given today is just packed, absolutely packed with stuff for us to glean and pull out. All right? So, I have 8 points. An 8-point sermon. How awesome is that to start the new year? We're going to bounce along the tops of them. Okay, don't worry. I'm very aware of that. But growth in this picture that Paul gives us, he gives us a picture of growth in a metaphor of getting dressed. All right, so 2022, folks, let's get dressed. Okay. And as we consider these things, we of course have to, I'm going to right up front, give us a caveat, something we always be aware of, all right? The Christian life is a tension in many, many ways. And one of those tensions is faith and works, right? We hold very strong that our salvation, our standing with God is by grace alone, by faith alone. And nothing that we do ourselves. That's what Ephesians 2 tells us. We're saved by grace and not by works. And all this stuff of resolutions and putting on clothes and all these we've been talking about are, and the whole idea of resolutions is an act of the will. And I implore you, do not substitute or try to put in place your standing, your acceptance by God with anything that we talk about here in our own selves. Now, not to say these things aren't important. We do have a will and we do want to grow, but it is by the Spirit. It's getting things in order. We don't do things and resolve to things and want to grow or desire to grow because we can be accepted by God. But because we are accepted by God, because we love Him, because we desire Him, because His Spirit's in me and is working, that we can, in that odd tension, say, yes, I will. I want to do better. I want to do these things. I want to try. And in trying, we fail. We can come to Him. We can, by the Spirit, make good choices. We can, by the Spirit, resolve to do better. We can resolve, by the Spirit, to act and do things in His name. We can, by the Spirit, seek God and desire Him more and more and more. And so, in that light, let's look at points of resolution in clothing ourselves as Paul shows us here. Okay, number one, we desire to have, we see right away, a Christ-like demeanor. All right, look at those in verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Because okay, so point one has 5 points. That's awesome. All right, so again, Christ-like demeanor. Here's a picture of things we can put before ourselves to grow into. Things like Christ-like compassion. And I want to preface all these things with Christ-like. Even as Jesus grew in stature, we want to grow as He does. Have Him as our example. Him as our template of what these things should look like. And so the first one that Paul shows is compassion. Compassion is a concern for others, sympathy. It literally means to suffer with. And so as we look at our own character in our lives, are we compassionate? Do we look at other people and have a desire to suffer with them? To see others' needs and just, oh, Lord, I want to help them. And so we want to grow in compassion. Our world needs people of compassion. The second one was kindness. It's really just simply being friendly. You know, generous, considerate. I was thinking about this day and just the idea of being kind in so many ways is foreign to so many people. We want to be kind. We want to be generous. There should not be such a thing as a crabby Christian. Okay? We want to put on kindness, put it on. Dress ourselves in the morning and say, okay, I am going to be kind. I'm not going to strike back at folks when I'm wronged. We want to be kind to people. We want, thirdly, Christ-like humility. And humility, again, is a foreign word in many of our circles in our culture today. To be, consider yourself lower or you know, in view of others' importance, to put ourselves down. Today it's all about branding, you know, and platform and lifting myself up. Let people see me. I'm hireable, I'm good, I'm beautiful. I want to put myself out there as that. And Christ shows us an attitude of humility. And then the next one of gentleness, kindness, being tender, mild-mannered. In our culture, and even in our Christian culture, we often see images of, you know, being tough and strong and warrior. I'm getting an ad in my Facebook feed right now. It's just irritating me. And it's an image of a crusader from the old Crusades, and he's kneeling down, and he's got a cross, and he has a sword there, and he has like an assault rifle in his other arm. And it just strikes me, is that what we want? Is that Jesus? A sword and an AK? I don't think so. Because I look at this. Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness. And then we look at patience. Being willing to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, suffering without anger. And there's so much anger in our world today. In this world of internet and instantaneous reaction, where people don't pause to wait to consider their words, they just can go into a comment section and torch somebody. There's a lot of anger, a lot of anger out there. And Jesus calls us to be patient with one another. And so in point number one, Paul here is clothe yourself with Christian, Christ-like demeanor. Looking forward to 2022, how can we more and more and more put on these sorts of things? Number two, then in verse 13, the first part says, bear with one another. literally endure with, to support, to literally suffer alongside with each other, to come alongside and say, I'm with you. And when you have a lack, I will try to fill it. And when I have a lack, you can try to fill it. Bear with one another. And then number three, the second part of that verse, forgiving one another. Oh, that's hard to forgive when you're wronged. I think even God-given sense of desiring for justice can be strong when something's wrong. But look what Paul reminds us of. Forgiving one another, if any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Anytime I am wronged, anytime the anger flares up in my sense of justice, how dare you cut me off in traffic? How dare you insult me? How dare you, whatever it may be? I can think back to the Lord. We sang of it today. Of how the Lord can look upon us. Remind us, we need to forgive one another. And it's work. It may not happen. You know, I'm not saying, okay, just, it's all good, right? I mean, forgiveness can take some work sometimes. And I know there's people, some of you may have some deep, deep hurts. Someone's offended you. And sometimes, maybe again, in just looking forward as a resolution, you may just say, Lord, help me take a next step. Maybe just help me to maybe want to seek forgiveness or forgive somebody. Or maybe, or just want to, right? Maybe that's what we are, okay? I'm not saying give people free pass for bad behavior, but in our own hearts, we want to avoid the bitterness and the just the constricting harshness that unforgiveness can bring to our lives. To drive away those things of anger and hate by forgiveness. Again, in a Christ-like way. Fourthly, Paul says in an overall statement in verse 14, put on love. Put on love. Love is it's different from compassion. Compassion is an entering into, a suffering along with, an empathy of sorts. Love is a deep affection for the other. It's winsome. It's lovely. It's appreciative. And we want to be Christ-like in this love. It's easy to say, yes, I love you, but I mean, really? Again, I in our marriages, if I say I love my wife, but I don't want to talk to her, I don't want to spend time with her, I ignore her, I just say, hey, just give me my food, I'm happy. Do I love her? Is she going to feel loved? No, love is deep. It's actual affection. It's actual feeling. It's something real. So when we say we love God, really? Right? Do we feel? In our time, I understand that. But again, we can resolve in our hearts, I'm going to work and try and be loving in my relationships with others and with God. And if I'm not feeling it, I'm sitting in a service and all these things we're doing, and I'm just like, oh, I don't know. Let me resolve, again, by the Spirit. I'm always going to go back to that, folks. We always can come back and say, Lord, He gives us the means, and we can seek that. But Paul says, put on love, which binds them all together. All these virtues, we put on love. Put on love, and it covers so much if we love in a Christ-like way. All right, a few more. The next item we want to resolve and put on, Paul says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Let peace rule. And he gives the pictures of us as one body. I mean, if my parts of my body were not at peace with each other, that's, you're sick, right? You need to fix that. There's an infection or a disease, and then they're not, you know, we couldn't function as a body if our parts were arguing with each other. We have that peace. Does our world need peace? Do you read the newspaper and think, oh, we're full of peace in this world? I see very little peace. And it's not just the world. It's us. Fighting and arguing and being hateful and mean and justifying it by saying, well, at least we can get the things we want to politically or whatever it may be. It's wrong. We're called to peace, period. Peace. And we need to be the ones to take that step in peace. Let it rule in our hearts. Ruling. Now, some folks say, is that everyone? I mean, maybe it's just Christians. Maybe it's just my brothers and sisters in Christ here. Again, if we apply Christ-like to this, that's a big, big, much bigger umbrella. We are called to be at peace with everybody. And it's difficult, I understand, but how much better and more pleasing and just a better life we would have in our world if we sought peace above other things. Number six, Paul just simply says, and be thankful. Be thankful. Now, we've spoken of this before and talked about Thanksgiving, but the attitude of a Christian should always be one of gratitude, of understanding every breath we take, every bite of food we have, every mile I drive in a vehicle, every warmth I enjoy of the clothes I have is a gift from God. Every moment that I can be on this earth in the assurance of my salvation is a gift from God, and I'm thankful. We should be thankful, people. Always. Whatever we have or don't have, we can always have an attitude of thankfulness. And number seven is an interesting one. And Paul says in verse 16, let the message, or in some of your Bibles we say, let the word of Christ dwell among you richly. What does that mean? If we could put that on, we resolve, I'm going to let the message of Christ, I'm going to let the word of Christ dwell among me and us. What does that mean? Well, he does explain it somewhat here. He says, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom and psalms, hymns, and songs of the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Okay, so we think about what the message of Christ is. What is the gospel? What is that message? And for Jesus, was the kingdom of God. It's coming, and it's here, and it's coming, and all that went into that, and what had to happen to make that a reality. This table reminds us of that reality, and that should be how we live. Our whole life should be that message, and that's what we do here, isn't it? I was looking at this list and going, well, that's a church service. That's what we do on Sunday mornings, or should be, right? Of teaching and admonishing, looking at God's word and singing songs. I love that. It's not just for no reason that we sing. I mean, it's an important part of our being together and knowing that message. And again, with gratitude. Paul tells us again and again and again, be thankful. So we live out more and more the message of Christ. And the eighth one, then, is huge. And it's overwhelmingly huge if we really consider what it means. As Paul says, and whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Do all in Jesus' name. Words and deeds. What does this mean? What does that mean? Is it just a... end of my prayer, in Jesus' name I pray. You know, is it something that we can use to sanctify maybe bad behavior? No, you think about the scope of what that is. To do everything in the name of Jesus. To do something in the name of is to align yourself with. If Jesus is your Lord, that means every thought, every action should reflect Jesus and his kingdom. Every single one. That we're to mold ourselves and everything we have is in Jesus' name. So, again, someone cuts me off in traffic and I shake my fist at him. Is that in Jesus' name? No, it's not. Right? It's not. You know, again, it's not sanctifying bad behavior. In Jesus' name, I, you know, and we've seen that. I'm reading a book right now that's looking at ancient church history and talks about like the Roman emperors, and it's going to go into crusades. They're supposed to, in Jesus' name, I stick a sword into you. That does not work, folks. All right? And again, he says, give thanks through all this. And I come back again here to say this, because I look at that. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus. I can look at back, I could probably look back at this morning and see a falling short of that standard. Because the thing is, and there's a problem here, folks, because that is impossible. That is impossible. We cannot do it. Then why am I preaching it? Why would Paul even say it? Because we're growing. And that's what we're coming back to, folks. We're growing. And again, it doesn't just happen. And as we celebrate this meal today together, as we have celebrated this Advent season together, as we talked over and over and over again about that double ring, that already not yet, that's just where we live. We understand the past and the foundation it gives us. We look forward to the end that we know is going to be. And in those, between those two things, then we have this time now. Not to be frustrated, not to give up, but to resolve. I resolve to put on this morning. And when I get home tonight, and those clothes I put on are battered and shabby, and the failures and shorts are going to come, I say, fine, tomorrow I'm going to put on again. And again, and again. And we see as people then, all these things that could be, of compassion and kindness and humility and God, gentleness and patience and forgiveness and love and God's word and peace and all these things, more and more and more. That is what I want for 2022. For me, my family, for us. To consider these things. You know, when we come... Coming up into November, we have a midterm election this year. It gives me a sinking feeling in my stomach sometimes. Oh, not another election. I'm just dreading almost. And as we come into these things of considering politics, who to vote for, who not for, the issues, put them all through this lens. Compassion, humility, love, gentleness. As we are in our jobs, as we consider managers or bosses or whatever it is, we can put through these lens. That our desire, I want to be, to grow, to put on these things more and more and more. Now, the psalm reading then just gives us a kind of a taste, I think, of how we can live in that. And it was simply, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord in all these things. Word and deed, to acknowledge the God of creation, to acknowledge the God of our salvation, to acknowledge the God of our future, and then say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And together we show the world how things should be. Well, opportunity next week. We're going to have a financial meeting. Right? There's always, you talk about money, I don't care. You can have two people, and you talk about money, and there's going to be conflict. So we're going to come next week and we're going to talk about computers. We're going to talk about a tree that needs to be felled. We're going to talk about a building. We're going to talk about a budget. We're going to, all these different things. And we're going to disagree. And we'll say, let's put on our clothes that morning. Right? That's what it's all about. That's what we look forward to in Jesus' name. Right? So, I resolve in 2022 to put on good clothes. And grow in that likeness of Christ more and more and more. Let's pray. Our Father God, we thank you. We want to be thankful people, and we've seen here today the words of your Apostle Paul. Be thankful. Gratitude in our hearts. To be thankful always. Lord, help us to put on you more and more and more. The example you gave of humility, and patience, and kindness, and gentleness, and love, and compassion. Lord, we fall short. Yet by your Spirit, we desire, Lord, we want deeply to be more and more like that. So help us, Lord. Forgive us when we fall short. Help us to bear with one another in humility, understanding that they fall short as well as I. And in all these things, we give you the glory, looking forward to a great future when you come back. And Lord, we pray, Lord, come soon, please. In Jesus' name, amen.